Yo. Check it. Ladies and gentlemen. Listeners all around the world.
All around the world. Why are you looking at me all
crazy? What's wrong with your cue?
No, he's supposed to go, yeah. And he said,
Worst intro of all time.
Damn.
Yeah. We the Uncelebs. Thank you for joining us, man. This is episode 85. All right. I'm Sean Solo.
Anthony, aka Nostalgic.
This is Steffi Nomadic Goddess.
And this is Dre on motherfucking drums.
And it's the first episode of the year, man. Yo, I've been waiting for this fucking interview to happen.
Right? Only took 84 drum roll, episodes.
I mean, like, I wrote this intro down like a year and a half ago.
Oh. Really?
Yeah. Like, this is it right here.
Damn, I feel.
Hold on.
It's shaking the cords loose.
Okay, that's cool. So this is gonna be a big one, right? Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we bring you our very first interview. Our guest tonight possessed an intellect like no other. With his ability to bless social media daily with his wisdom and awareness of various cultures. Now you can say he's one of the very few that bridges the gap between the older and younger generation. All while conveying his messages through the perfect blend of spoken word and trap music. Ladies and gentlemen, the Uncelebs podcast proudly welcomes the spoken dragon himself, Zen Cartel.
What up? Mama, we made it. Anything is possible.
I did that in a year and a half ago. I had to switch it up,
I'm honored by that intro. No, I'm serious, bro.
He was like, me.
And the thing about it is that's all true. I try to bridge the gap between the older generation and the young generation through spoken word and trap music. Man. Even though I didn't even do a trap song. Oh, yeah, I did. My bad.
Yeah, that was
back in the day.
Do so much shit, you forget how much we do.
No, I haven't recorded anything. That's why I haven't, you know, I'm just like, all right. Maybe it's time to start doing that in 2020. That's the year. Like,
I've seen the performances.
That intro was better than the Drink Champs intro.
Listen, yo, this is our first interview. This is family right here. So we gotta give him the proper intro.
Though.
That is so crazy too. Like, because like we linked up. What was it? 2015, 2016? No, 17.
17.
2017. Yeah.
Damn. Like, it's like what? That's 2 years ago. Like,
yeah.
Well, yeah. Like, I felt like I'd known y'all forever.
Yeah, man. That's the same, you know, the same type of click that, you know, just happens. You know, on the same wavelength and shit. At a party, it's like, oh shit, what's good? Yo, what's good? Oh, yeah. Did we just become best friends?
No, that's a fact. best friends. Like, it's so crazy. Like, because I was going through so much shit that year. Like, and I was just really trying to have my head in a very positive spiritual way, like, and I don't know, I feel like just keeping my head that way and just keeping my soul, it just brought everyone that I really needed in my life together. I
mean, that's what you were looking for.
Yeah, that's facts. Like, I don't want no fake shit.
No, you good. Yeah.
I don't want no fake shit. Like, no fake people, no fake promises, none of that. Like,
it's true, man. Well, but let's talk about that. Like, what inspired you to, like, as far as like spoken word and music, you know, like hip hop and rap, and like what really got you into that?
My father actually got me into writing poetry when I was about 13, 14. He was always in and out of jail, but he always wrote stories, and he wrote poems. So I read one of his poems one day. I think it was called I forget what it was called exactly and shit, but it was like, it was everything that I felt in my heart at that point, because I was writing poetry, like, no, I wasn't even writing poetry. I was just feeling a certain type of way. You know, you're an adolescent, you're 13, you're not really sure what the fuck is going on.
Pretty much.
So I just started writing. My first poem ever was called Elements. Like, it was just about earth, wind, fire, blah, blah, blah. And then since then, I let one of my friends named Vanita, let her read it, and she was like, oh my God, that's so good, even though it's cheesy as fuck. Like, but that's what actually continued me to write. And then spoken word came in around like 15, 16. Okay. And I gotta give a tribute, shout out to Raymond Reed, my first boss at Elm Street Community Center. He's the one that taught me just Kwanzaa period. He's the one that pushed me forward to do spoken word and just all like just Black history period. Like, uh-huh. You know, he was a Black man. He worked in Elm Street Community Center. He worked with kids in the hood and whatnot. And that's really what inspired me to just do spoken word, because Yonkers hood ain't shit to do. Like, unless right. you get into trouble, unless you join a gang, or, you know, you just out there doing fuck shit, then there's really nothing to do.
Right.
And it's sad too, because like, even in Yonkers, when you're doing poetry, there's still nothing to do. So I had to go outside of Yonkers
to actually do poetry. Yeah. Right, right.
And I feel like I've just been traveling from Yonkers to Brooklyn since I was like 17.
Sure, you started early, man.
Yeah.
Some people, they don't get their shit to like maybe like mid-20s, like, all right, this is what I want to do. But at least with you, you had, you know, you had inspiration from your OG.
I still feel like I'm not going in the right direction. But I know I am. But it's just like, yeah, like, I think it's really
money. It's a journey. Sometimes.
Yeah, it's a journey. It's a journey and a learning experience.
That's what it's about.
I mean, like, yeah, as you go along, like, you know, as you get older, you just live and you learn. You're not going to, you don't become born into this world just knowing everything, knowing, like, what you want to do. So that's you have to, as you, in your case, like, you growing up in Yonkers, it's kind of like, it gave you, like, the trials and tribulations.
And
you know
not
mean?
Only that, like, I had to really, like, own my craft. Like, it's being a poet in New York is hard, because you got so many people, you have spoken word artists, you have a poetry community in New York, but it sucks. Mm. Like, they only really want the people they fuck with. Like,
it's clicky.
When I go on stage, y'all fuck with me. When I go on stage, a lot of people fuck with me. But as far as like poetry community, like Norwegian.
I was just about to ask about that. Okay.
I can't go to Norwegian.
We'll talk about your experience with that. Like,
it's not poetry based. It's performance based. You come. It's an open mic. You come. They have their slams, but poetry should be more than a slam. Like, you're talking about people that express themselves through writing, and sometimes it's very hard to make a poetry show, because since it's that element, sometimes you just got guys just talking about, like, you know, something that just happened in their life, and they just word it. It's like white people. Like, it's no shade to white people, but the way white people write is way different from, like, Black people. Like, sometimes they'll go through so many metaphors and different trials and tribulations, and if you like poetry, then you're gonna listen to it. But if you don't, it's like, white boy talk about.
I think that boils down to, like, people's different experiences. It's gonna come out different.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah,
you got people that really love stuff like that. Like, who was it? I got involved with an open mic. It's actually an event called She Reads. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, She Reads is, you know, Black based, but they bring all poets from just all generations, like new, old, and I love settings like that, because you really get to see the older generation's poetry and how they speak. Because they all really poetry is about history.
Basically.
Like, that's it. And history is so important, and it's so forgotten quickly. Like, so with my poetry, I try to really put in history and trap music, because trap music is history. Yeah. Like, honestly, when trap music first came out, and now, I mean, you're not just talking about, like, the lyrics and shit, you're just talking about the beats that came out, and the YouTubers that started hopping on trap music and shit like that. White kids, little white kids. Oh, let me make a trap song, because it was just that easy.
Yeah.
And it just shows you how creativity really is that easy. Like,
yeah, because I feel like it started out, and correct me if I'm wrong, like, I felt like when people were rapping, like, especially with YouTubers and comedians, when it started first rapping to trap beats, it started out as a parody. Like, this is how the trap people sound. Yeah. But then after a while, yeah.
Yeah, no, then after a while, they're like, oh, shit, I'm
now these parody artists are actually getting full-blown careers, you know? The Slim Jesuses of the world.
Right.
Trinidad James.
That was
for like 2 years. Yeah. Even a couple of months, he was like,
yo. Coming up just like Soulja Boy, you know? Like, really just getting a whole bunch of social media hype, no matter how good the music is or whatever. But just creating that hype is what creates the dollars, you know?
Right.
You get people excited, you go and get some money.
That's a fact. Like, that's a fact. If you can market it right, then, you know, they're going to keep you. They're going to keep paying you.
Right. And I want your perspective on this, right? Because I can say the only person besides you, the only person I can see who tried that motive to get the do a conscious message through trap music was Lupe.
That's a fact. That's a fact. And I think, honestly, I think Lupe was successful.
Right.
Because there's people in the hood that I talk to, and I'm like, yo, Lupe is the GOAT. There's people that listen to, what was his last album? Tanjo Youth?
Tetsuo Youth.
Like, there's people that tell me that album. I didn't even listen to it. I was a big Lupe fan. Mm-hmm. I was a very big Lupe fan, but after a certain, I couldn't listen to the album.
I mean my issue with Lupe was more or less that it's like he made the cool, and now it's hard to top that shit. It's like, yo, now, like it's cool, hard to listen to
I
that.
I fell asleep.
So, cool or food and liquor?
The food and liquor was great. The cool was a classic.
The cool was the classic. Yeah. I went to sleep to that album every night. Yeah. Like at one point. So it's just like
tonight.
and then he came out with Lasers, and then Lasers kind of, it was a commercial album.
It was like,
I wanted to ask you about that album, because I feel like that was the album where it was like, okay, I'm gonna use these mainstream hits.
That's what these poppy tracks. Because that was gonna be my question. The Lupe that I listened to wasn't really closely related to trap.
Right. So yeah. Same.
You were saying the Lasers album.
Like, I'm a fan of Food and Liquor, the cool, but then when he really was trying to get his message out, because nobody was really, people were listening to Lupe, but not like on the mainstream kind of level. Yeah. He had like a little run.
He didn't get more mainstream than like Superstar, right, at that point.
But with the Lasers, it's more like, okay, I'm going to use these beats and like, I'm going to convey this message that's kind of like, become more conscious and woke. So, and B.O.B. was like that too. But
B.O.B.,
I mean, wait, I'm lying. That one Lupe song, Deliver.
I don't know.
Fuck with that one.
No.
Peace Man come to live around here no more.
Oh, yeah.
Too much dope.
I like
Too many
like
niggas
Bad
on the
Bitch.
Poach.
Yeah. That song Bad Bitch that he did. I don't know. I don't remember that. Or Bitch Bad. That's all it was. It wasn't
Bitch
Bad.
Bitch.
Okay.
I forgot how it goes. It sounds
for bad. Lady Good. Woman Better. Something. I forget.
Yeah.
I mean,
Lupe, but say like, yeah, that's
weird.
It's a fine
I wish
line,
Lupe
man.
Was still making music.
He could if he wanted to. I think he would have that kind of fan base.
I don't think he has the motivation for it anymore. Like he went through a whole lot through his career. Lupe went a whole lot of bullshit through his career, and it was on the low too. That's the funny part.
It was just like a record, like him record and B.O.B. was going through some record label shit.
Yeah, and B.O.B. don't fuck with nothing. That's the thing. Like B.O.B. just kind of like I'm out.
Just wear But I mean,
he was heavy on that Illuminati shit too.
With Lupe, it was kind of like he's way too dope. Like he did the cool. You know, the food and liquor, it was just way too dope.
Yeah.
You know? And now it seemed like he has to try so hard to put out these messages and stuff like that. Because it's not even just like a sometimes thing with Lupe. It's like a line. As soon as the cool came out, everything after that, I really wasn't messing with.
Yeah.
Everything before that, you know, even the mixtapes, Fahrenheit versus 15, and he came out with mad parts to that Revenge of the Nerds. He had a bunch of shit. What I'm saying, like, it's hard to just dance that line between, you know, conscious and trap, you know, because it's like you gotta be sometimes you want to be conscious enough sometimes for the conscious community.
Being a conscious person, I don't want to hear that shit sometimes.
Yeah, like, but sometimes people try to be conscious enough for the conscious community to respect it. And then try to be like, fucking trap enough for the trap community. And then you get caught in the middle and neither one of them fuck with it.
Just do what you fuck with.
And that's why I like Lupe, because I felt like he wasn't trying to be conscious. He was just making music. Like,
just to be making music.
Yeah, but he was doing it his way, because Lupe talks a lot about his life. Like, he talked about his father. His father did martial arts. His father taught him martial arts. His father was the one that, like, you know, influenced him to look at the hood at a different perspective. Like,
And raised all his brothers and sisters like that.
Yeah, not to be part of it. Yeah, that's facts. Not to be part of it, but it is in you. Like, I ain't the hood, but I'm from this shit. Like,
exactly. Everything you represent it.
Everything I've learned was from the hood. It was from my ancestors, from my people, my community. Everything that I've learned, like everything, consciously. Like, I didn't really read books. I didn't go to school. It was all from street. Like, but I just wasn't selling no weight. I wasn't doing that shit.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like trapping. Yeah. Like, it's weird though, because you have kids our age that are in prison for life because they were trapping.
Yeah,
and that's our generation.
Which is
they've been around it.
Yeah,
been there. Like, some people are born into it, and it sucks. And that's why I fuck with Lupe, because he give you the hood and the intellectual. Kendrick.
Yeah.
I like Kendrick too. Kendrick broke that kind of gap, like, where he can give you conscious. It is weird. I never saw Kanye as conscious. And
I think he's more religious.
Kanye.
He's more religious and realistic.
That nigga is the nigga from Don't Be a Menace in the Hood while drinking your juice in the hood. He that nigga.
Like,
Kanye or something like that.
Yo, man, you sitting here with a white woman. It's like, man, I'm just trying to do what the white man has been doing to the black man for 400 years.
Yeah. What's that?
Fuck him.
Oh, he cold.
Yo, Kanye is crazy. Kanye went from George Bush don't like black people to, you don't have to be Republican. You don't have to be Democrat.
That defined Kanye so well.
Well, okay.
Because
we could talk. Like, how do you feel like with the state of Kanye now? Like, he's like full blown. He's always been a religious rapper, but a lot of people just don't know that. I keep saying that. He's always been a religious rapper.
Yeah. Jesus walks, even though he didn't write it.
God, like, but
he performed it. That's all.
Right? He made Jesus walks. He's never going to hell.
One thing, I'll say,
nigga, no, you didn't. Stop speaking on Rhyme Fest life.
Oh yeah. Oh wait, Rhyme Fest.
Let's be real. Jesus got a couple followers. That ain't following him, right?
Jesus.
Well, true. But see, what kind
they didn't hear me.
It was.
I said, let's be real. Jesus even got a couple followers that ain't following him.
Oh yeah.
So,
but he was like a balance,
and that was his disciples too. That's the funny part.
But anyway.
Right, he was like a religious rap, but he had his flaws. Like, you think of, like, Flashing Lights, you know, you think of the birthday song, you know what I mean?
Know,
like, with 2 Chainz, all of one song.
He was in that one.
Easy.
The one that they did, and they did a video in Yonkers.
All I Want.
That was in Yonkers?
Yep, that was Yonkers.
Wow.
See, but it's funny, because it's like, last year Kanye was, I don't give a fuck, just wanted a quick fuck. I don't give a fuck. Just wanted a quick fuck. And then now he's talking to Kim Kardashian like, I don't think you should be wearing it. That's not very becoming if you want to be my wife.
First of all, I'm already your wife.
Honestly. I'm not going to lie, though.
I'm already
not
your
gonna
wife.
Not going to lie. He
all the time. Like,
you what?
He contradicts himself all the time.
Oh, do you think he's going to contradict himself again? Because I think this is the happiest I've seen Kanye.
It's not that Kanye is contradicting himself. The world is contradicting contracts.
The
world
elaborate
is contradicting contracts. So, me personally, I feel like niggas is contracted not to say shit. Either that.
Of course.
Or contracted to do shit. So, this whole ploy with Kanye and Kim, y'all rich enough. Go get a divorce. I'm dead ass. Like, I think, really be feeling like these niggas is contracted to do that.
Nah.
Because you got four motherfucking kids. I didn't even know Kanye had four kids with Kim Kardashian. Yep. I'm like, damn,
Northwest,
that was quick.
East.
No,
Northwest, East, West, Saint.
I'm joking.
Like,
nah, the baby, I didn't even know that.
And the babies look quick. They look happy. Like,
No, the babies are good. They taking care of their kids. I'm not going to say nothing about their children, but I didn't know that their last child was their last child. Like, I did not know that baby was born. No. Kim, best believe Kim ain't getting pregnant no more. Them surrogates. That first pregnancy did her dirty. Like, and everybody did her dirty after that. Telling, like, all them outfits she tried to do, she's not getting pregnant anymore. So they can have about 10 kids if they want to, because they can pay surrogates. So,
I mean, why not? Like I said, you got the money to do it. Hey, man, like, happy wife, happy life. You know what I mean? Like, it's...
He can do it. Yo, see, but like, the nigga, thing, the thing like that irks me about, like, their whole relationship is that this dude was really, like, lost and so crushed from his last relationship that we got 808 Heartbreak. Then from Amber Rose, he goes to Kim Kardashian, he's bragging about Ray J sex tape with her and shit.
Ray J. What about Nick motherfucking Cannon? That was clearly with Kim Kardashian. While he was with Mariah, it had to be the time.
But Nick Cannon be everywhere.
I ain't hearing nowhere. I sit there and check the tickets, nigga. I check the receipts. I look at timelines. Oh, nigga, you was married here. Ray J had sex with Kim Kardashian here when you was with her. You go on Vlad TV. You was like, "Oh yeah, I was with Kim Kardashian before Ray J and some other nigga."
He made that purchase on a different credit card.
You also have to remember Kim. She wasn't famous.
No, she was famous around. She was definitely in that celebrity circuit.
She was around for a long time.
Bussing niggas. Like,
she was around for a long time.
Reggie Bush, and then before that,
Reggie Bush.
Yo. All right, but this okay.
And then her father was also connected with what's that lawyer name?
OJ.
The one that got
Johnny Cochran.
Johnny Cochran.
Yeah.
Her father was a lawyer, so that's really why.
Yeah, Robert Kardashian.
Robert Carr.
That's why they got so much money. But then again, the mother came from money. I'm pretty sure.
But then
the stepfather had money.
Then they fused with the Jenners. Like,
exactly.
Did you
ever see Kanye's face when he popped up in the reality show?
The only thing I saw was he was embarrassed. What the fuck was it? I forgot. I think it was Nick Cannon or something like that. Yeah, it was Nick Cannon. Mm-hmm. So he had an interview with Vlad. Like, I love interviews because niggas don't mind talking about shit. But I'm talking about viral interviews. Like, Vlad, that shit go viral.
It's about to go viral. Like, keep saying shit about Kendall. About Jenner. About the other Jenner.
So, like, fucking Nick was like, he said something. He was like, oh, yeah. You about to see something happen. And then the next moment, motherfucking, what's the nigga name? Bruce became Caitlyn. Like,
oh, wow.
So it's just like these niggas talk. These niggas is in the circuit. Kanye acting crazy and shit like that for the media. Like,
that's why I say he contracted. It's always
shit.
When something's about to come out.
When you contract it, these niggas' jobs is to find the loophole. Look at motherfucking Frank Ocean. This nigga is balling now.
Oh, yeah.
He is the king of everything right now. Blonde?
Okay, so.
So you ain't heard about Blonde?
So who knows most of the information?
I don't know all the information.
I can go for it.
Okay, please.
Yeah. Okay, so. Long story short, Frank Ocean wanted to get out of his deal, but he had one more project that had to be done. One more project.
This nigga built a staircase to heaven.
This project, of course, the label wanted it to be an audio project that can be released and sold and shit. But no, instead he has Apple TV live.
Wait, hold on. Let's get it twisted. Let's get it straight. They didn't specifically say, oh, this has to be audio.
They didn't.
That's not in the contract.
But it's they like expect, that's what like they wanted.
Project.
Okay.
The project that they
Leganese,
got.
Leganese, the word has Leganese. To be bond. That's what it is, bro. That's what it is. Now, Leganese, you got to speak in that language.
So now, this project that he chooses to do, he just sets up a camera like the one that we have here. He's in an empty room, and he just starts building a staircase.
To heaven.
Wait, what?
To heaven.
The staircase just went as high as the ceiling. Like,
nigga, that shit is to heaven, nigga.
Yeah, like,
that nigga in heaven right now, bro.
Either way, a bunch of people tuned in. It was a big live event and everything, and all of that.
On iTunes.
And it was on iTunes.
That's where he was supposed to produce the album. On iTunes.
He completed his contract. That's how he did it. And then, right after that, he drops his own album that blew the fuck up.
Blonde.
No, I heard about Blonde. I didn't hear about that.
That's the thing. Because this is the project that they thought that they was going to get out of him. And he was like, no, I got some mess.
Nah, and then he dyed his hair green.
Take stairs. Take the stairs.
It was wearing like green hair dye on the album, right?
Mm-hmm. You said what?
That was a Channel Orange album, right?
No,
this is after.
No, it's Blonde.
Blonde, yeah.
No, it's Blonde.
That's the only album that you can actually, like, it's his face. You know, all his other albums, it's just like.
Because that's his album. He owns all the rights to that album. Nobody can't touch him with that. All the money that he made off that album is his. He had to break off Sony. He had to break off Apple. The only thing he had to break off money to was that Staircase to Heaven shit.
Yep. So Home Depot.
Let me ask y'all this, right? Let me ask y'all this. Being that he's out of his deal now, so he's free to do whatever. Mm-hmm. You feel that he should be more consistent with the music now because he's out of his deal?
He can do whatever the fuck he wants.
Just my opinion. I think that everybody, when they can, should be as consistent as humanly possible when it comes with music. Just because these things are what your fans are looking for. You could even look at Drake. Drake just dropped the song, and because he, you know, kind of slow, Drake, lost Drake, a little steam, you're getting mixed reviews.
You can't compare Drake because
Drake is by far the most consistent.
He is the most consistent, but I don't think it's about losing steam. I think it's about, are we into you right now? It's like, it's not about that, because how long was it between Blonde and Channel Orange? How many years was it? And everybody was still, yo, Frank, we ain't playing with you. Where the album
at? Because they're still begging for it.
This is the thing, though, is that Frank Ocean been making music since our future. There's a point, especially with musical artists, they get tired, bro. Don't want to sit there and keep completing contracts. You get $1 million deal, and the only thing you're getting is $30,000 out of this shit.
That's absolutely fine. What he did, I don't fool him for what he did at all. Either. What I'm saying about Drake is we might be sick of his ass now.
Nah, with Drake.
Nah, I can't be sick of Drake.
Nah, see, this is the thing about Drake.
I said we might be.
Well, some people.
So, I'm sick of Drake. Not really. I just don't like... The thing about Drake is already solidified. Like, he had the perfect run somehow, because like he was with Young Money. He was with Young Money, but he didn't stay with Young Money like Nicki Minaj.
Well, because look who mentored him. Lil Wayne, I wouldn't say mentored him.
Lil Wayne opened the doors for him. He said in an interview, in a way. When it comes to that consistency,
making music.
When it comes to that consistency, Wayne is like one of the biggest pioneers of that, because that consistency is what created the huge buzz for Wayne.
Yep.
And that viral buzz is what sold Carter 3 out the fucking, you know, before it even hit the shelves, that shit was sold out, you know? Like, so when you compare that to somebody like Frank Ocean, and all respect to him, but all of his fans been dying for more music of him. I'm not the biggest Frank Ocean fan, but I know that if you what was the album? The Lonnie Bro Collection.
Yeah.
The Lonnie Bro Collection, that shit got like 45 songs. Yeah,
that's what made me really get into
it, Frank Ocean. In alphabetical order. And then you got Train on Orange, which came out not too long after that. Mm-hmm. But since then, you got, you know, a project here, a song here, a couple features here. You know, you don't really get too much craziness.
Yeah, I don't. It's weird because I don't really listen to Frank Ocean, but I definitely listen to what's happening in the music industry. It's like Trippie Redd. Trippie Redd makes album after album, mixtape after mixtape, and it's just like, I feel like right now, since he's young, he can do that. Like,
of course.
But it's weird, like with Frank Ocean, with Drake. Drake can stop making music, to be honest.
He could.
He has such a big catalog already, but it's, since Drake is so versatile, he's not gonna stop.
He will.
He owns the game.
He will. Like, he will be in the Mount Rushmore of. Let me tell you who the people I think who had a crazy run is. Drake. It's 50.
50.
It's
definitely.
Wayne.
Mm-hmm. Wayne.
It's Kanye.
Mm-hmm.
And Kanye, I'm gonna say
Drake.
No, I said Drake already.
Oh, okay, that was a
first. Jigga.
I was gonna say Jay. But Jay don't really make music no more.
See, just, and that's what I'm talking about, the consistency.
Yeah, he does.
You know, the consistency that Jay had. He every single year he was dropping another project. Yeah, you know, true. And that's like,
and he never, like, he got with the generation too. He didn't sit there and be like, oh, well, I ain't
Drake?
With these niggas. Nah, Jay.
Jay was ahead of his time, man.
Yeah, and on top of that, like, yeah, he did, you know, if there's a specific sound that's all over the radio, Jay does know how to capture that sound, like him.
Jay-Z,
you know?
He picked up a flow a couple times, too, on a public track. I'm just like, wow.
I've never seen a bad feature from Jay.
You know,
a bad feature?
I've never heard a bad feature. Let's be
honest. Bad feature, but I feel like you're going to get something that's like, could have did a little bit better on that.
Features, I don't hear that. I hear certain Jay songs that I'm like, okay, no.
You can't go wrong with just speak, like, you spitting real shit. Like, you're rapping about real shit.
Yeah.
Like, the whole 444 album, you can't, you couldn't, he can't.
He couldn't go wrong.
I'm not
going to go wrong. Let's say that Jay can't go wrong. Because I'm not, like, you could be rapping about other things and conscious shit and still be garbage. Like, yo, shout out to fucking Immortal Technique. That nigga cannot make a song. He can spit his ass off. But he cannot make a song.
We're not talking about this again.
I'm sorry.
Let's talk about that topic, because there is a difference between making a song and just rapping, my nigga. That's fact. Right. Look at battle rappers. Everybody says battle rappers, they can't make no music.
Can't, though.
But that's not facts.
But why is that?
Because,
why is that?
Yeah. Look at the era. The era of battle rap was, like Smack DVD rap, that was like early 2000s going into now. I'm not gonna sit there and talk about 2010 battle rap. That's a complete different era of battle rap.
Mm-hmm.
These niggas is really rapping. You don't even know what the fuck they saying unless you really analyze, and they breaking down words, mm-hmm. doing schemes. Now when they get into their music, unless you really into battle rap fans and shit like that, then you're not really gonna fuck with their music.
Well, like,
Soof Surf can make a song. He made a whole album.
I heard one of Soof Surf's mixtapes. That shit was dope. Shotgun Shug shit. Dope to me too. But see,
these guys can make music now, but I feel like it was because of trap.
I the reason why I feel like battle rappers still can't make music is because it's a total different muscle.
Yeah, it is.
It's a totally different muscle.
Facts.
If you're comparing a sprinter to a marathon runner, or even a sprinter compared to a parkour player, runner. It's like, to get into the studio and hear a beat and be like, yo, that shit's fire. All right, I should hop on it like this. I should flow like this. I should do like that. A lot of time, these battle rappers get into the studio and they try these things. They try to rap like that, and it don't work. Like, perfect example, Reed Dollars. Reed Dollars, when he was 14, 15, 16,
I would not.
That nigga was
Reed
a beast.
Yeah.
He was a beast. When I was in high school, he was a beast.
Nah, he's still a beast.
What? Battle rap?
Battle rap? Hell yeah. He just had a battle with. Nah,
I'm
my nigga.
Sorry.
Nah,
he was garbage last time I seen him.
Last time? What was that battle?
Hot Dookie.
His first battle against John the Don, I didn't even think it was that bad. I thought it was all right, but I think niggas was like, eh. But his next battle I forgot who he battled. That was pretty good. That was a good battle. That was a good battle. I mean, I get it though. Reed Dallas back in the day was a beast because he was owning battle rap.
And, like, and on top of that, he was so young and he was just coming out.
Nah,
you know?
He had
drink a lot with him. Take this 40 to the neck.
Yo, my nigga. Like, nah. Really, once you heard motherfucking Reed Dallas, you just like, oh, nah, I need to hear that Reed. Like, he was kind of like Lux. In a way, a little bit.
Yeah, like there were those verses that was just like, yo, this nigga bent that shit.
He's
you know,
from Philly. So it's just like a lot of Philly rappers.
Philly battle rappers. Is like,
I'm not gonna front
though. Different almost different breed, man.
Yeah, I know, just Philly rappers, battle rappers, and I gotta represent Jersey battle rappers. I feel like Jersey battle rappers are the best in my opinion. You know, you look at the Sue Surfs, you look at the Sirius Jones, you look at the Arsenal, you look at the Shotgun.
I'll fuck with Arsenal, but I do not fuck with Sirius Jones. Sirius Jones is the garbage, most garbage battle rapper in history.
What?
I do not count Fight Club as his battle rap career. What? I'm talking about right
Fight Club?
Motherfucking oh, now. God. Fight Club, he was on in Fight Club. He beat Jin. He beat Jin.
I mean, he beat Jin with a lot of racist jokes. That's not even Sirius Jones' best battle to me.
But that's
what was his best battle? With O Solo?
Well, I feel like he dragged the shit out of Murder Mook. Murder Mook, that whole battle was garbage. Murder Mook, I've never seen Murder Mook win a battle aside from Young High.
Young High
is the only person I've seen
facts.
Murder Mook
that's
beat.
Facts. That's
what everybody
how,
else.
That's how I feel about. That's how I feel about Rex.
Rex is his understudy that practices losing so that he can lose almost to the level that Murder Mook loses.
Murder Mook and battle rap has never lost a battle, sort of, kind of.
I'm going to disagree with you.
I don't believe that's
I feel
true.
Like he lost to Party Artie. I feel like he lost
facts.
To Sirius Jones.
That's facts. Party Artie, he lost that battle, but Party Artie died, so it's just like, you know, he passed away and shit, so it's just like, a lot of people don't count that battle.
No, he got to wear that W. You get that W to the grave.
But then when you talk about Sirius Jones, that's such a controversial battle because, like, when I first watched that battle, I thought Sirius Jones won. Now, when I watched that battle now, I think Murder Mook won.
Yo, you know what I know how I feel about that?
Down on his dick, down on his chest.
Bullshit.
That was bullshit.
Yo, you know why?
That
whole battle ended up birthing fucking Lil Duval versus Sirius Jones YouTube video.
I don't remember that shit.
Oh, it birthed Chocolate Dropper versus T-Pain.
Okay.
That shit birthed Super Hot Fire.
Yeah, you told me.
Yo,
that goes back to being a parody.
Exactly. And now you look at that battle.
Yeah.
And dot on your head, dot on your arm. That was not bars.
It wasn't bars.
You don't
have to.
That's when the crowd came in because they been somewhere other than Harlem, you're not gonna get 35 niggas screaming down on your head, down on your
leg. That was his crew. That was Dot Mob.
Yeah,
that was
exactly.
Dot Mob.
Dot Mob hopped up and said, down on your head, down on your leg.
This is what I'm gonna say is that if you have crowd control, that's a point in battle rap. And there's no points in battle rap. You cannot win a battle. It's only really like just crowd decided that both battle rappers still get paid. Mm-hmm. Even if a battle rapper lose, he still get paid. So it's really up to just how do you feel about the battle. So that's why I'm like, at first to me, that dot on the head, I ain't fuck with it. But at the same time, you gotta fuck with it because it's been, like, that battle was what, 10, 20, almost 20 years ago?
Yeah, I'm
sitting there still saying, 15? Dot on his head, and that's Murder
Mook. I mean, that's
Mook battle,
you know,
Lux and one. He killed Lux.
What, the second time? Not the first time. First time he got trapped.
I don't remember the first time
it was in the Lion's Den.
I don't think if Lux and Mook was in a battle, I think Lux would.
No.
They were in a battle recently. They was in a battle recently. Murder Mook won.
Bro. Murder Mook murdered that nigga. And Loaded Lux is my favorite battle rapper of all time because he blends the consciousness with the hood.
So let me ask you, like, when you look at a battle, right? Like, what are the key things that you're looking for?
Number one, you gotta have punchlines, you gotta have bars, you gotta have consistency, you gotta have crowd control. If you don't have crowd control, then you trash. You gotta have a little bit of jokes. Nah, you don't necessarily have to have it. Like it's really hard to say what you gotta have.
You just can't.
It's like Charlie Clips. Charlie Clips is a comedic battle rapper, but he still got bars. If you look at Loaded Lux, if you look at Lux and Clips, that battle can be debatable.
Yeah.
Even though Lux is going ham on this nigga, and the crowd is fucking with it, and that's the part that you gotta have. Like, you gotta know your environment. Mm-hmm. You can't sit there and give motherfucking conscious shit in a battle and expect niggas to learn. They're not gonna look that shit up unless they already know it. That's why Lux dominates, because he can give you the conscious in the hood at the same time.
It's all about your packaging.
Well,
it's
weird. Yeah, the only person I've seen has done that was Loaded Lux. Where he was like Lux. In a suit. And like,
but we can easily. I think I don't know if y'all agree with this. I don't know if y'all agree with this, but that is probably one of the best battle rap verses ever. Mm-hmm. Like, that shit is a big reason why battle rap crossed over into mainstream. Exactly. You know, you got Jay-Z hearing this shit talking about you gonna get this work.
You gonna get this work. Like,
everybody was saying that shit.
Lux choked. His whole second round, half a round.
Yep,
and then
he choked in the first. He choked in the second first.
Round. No, it was the second round. First.
He choked in the first round.
In the first,
and then
round.
Finished his first round for the second round, and then spit his third verse.
And then you know what fans was asking.
And that third verse was.
Everybody was asking, "Yo, did you do that on purpose?" And Lux ain't say shit. Lux ain't saying, he was just like, I'm gonna leave that as a mystery.
Of course not. You're gonna leave them talking, because they're gonna talk about that regardless,
bro. That's how you win a battle. That's how you know you a battle rapper. When you choke on stage and niggas is really giving you excuses.
That's what it's about, and that's like that's the thing. That's why battle rap has transferred from just being a one room event where it was just a crowd there, and only the people that there can actually, you know, have an opinion on it, to now it's all over the internet, you know? So you might have choked right here, you might have slipped up right here, but that doesn't that doesn't deny the fact that you murdered this whole shit. Let's not talk about Cassidy. We're talking about good battle rap.
Cassidy
got paid, I think it was $200,000 to battle Disaster. And that battle was a disaster.
Wait, like, which one? The first battle or the second battle?
Both of them was a disaster. Nah, the first one did not even happen because he was on Fillmore TV and the crowd wasn't fucking with it, so they stopped the whole round. So they had to go to another event the next day. They did the whole event the next day and they battled again. And to me, I felt like Cassidy won. But no.
He did.
Yeah, Cassidy won.
But against Disaster?
By default.
I didn't see it.
By default, man. Like, he won by default because Disaster was just hella trash, and he got paid like $60,000 for that shit.
Now, mind you, at the time, they was like, yo, he was saying, yo, send battle rap, like, send your guy. Send the guy that your go-to guy. I'll battle him. Send Disaster. He's like the top guy.
Disaster was literally.
Was not the top nigga at that time. He was falling off crazy.
Look, when it comes to
to get that nigga money.
People that like Disaster.
Exactly.
Disaster is like Disaster is one of those.
Disaster,
and I hate to say it like this, but he's basically like a white battle rapper, like an Iron Solomon type of guy.
Nah.
You know, because I feel like Iron Solomon is dope too. Nah. It's like, yo, you have to rely so much on fucking like rhyme schemes and bars that most people ain't gonna relate to.
So what I will say about him,
Eminem and all the time.
Exactly. That's what I was just about to compare him to.
Soul Khan. He was a beast.
Better example than Iron Solomon because at least Iron Solomon was on URL. Like, at least he was on Smack.
Yeah.
Like, not Disaster got on Smack one time. Soul Khan, he was on Grind Time. Yeah. So, like, Disaster is a Grind Time rapper. He ain't a hood rapper.
He's definitely like a very aggressive, like, so, like,
he was hood when he hooked Matt.
No, he wasn't. That was pussy shit. Was pussy shit because, honestly, like, the only reason why he hooked Matt on camera is because of Grape Street.
What?
Like, Grape Street put him up to it.
Well,
because Matt had punched Sirius Jones. Sirius Jones was tight about it.
I'll tell you, I know what really happened after the episode. I know exactly what really happened to it. After the episode, we'll get into it because you know, we kind of, you know.
Okay, all right.
So before we wrap up, I do have a question for you.
Yeah.
All right. So somebody loves poetry, wants to get into poetry. How would you tell them to go for it? Like, what do you think? Once they've written their first poem, what do you think that they should do?
Keep writing. Write something that really speaks to your heart and that you can memorize. Something, because you want to memorize, just in case you want to do a performance, memorize it. Have it in your heart, because when you have it in your heart, it's going to come out better.
Passionately.
Yeah, yeah. You don't have to sit there and even think about the words. Like, it just comes out. You know, you feel it. It's weird.
Right. If you could describe, like, your first time actually performing on stage, like, give us the rundown on that.
I wasn't even nervous. I really wasn't even nervous. Like, first time performing on stage, damn, I can't really. The only time I remember was when I fucked up on stage.
Okay.
And it was at an event. It was at a Juneteenth event, and it was in what is it? Something park. I forget what park that was, but it was in Yonkers. Very big crowd, massive crowd. Like, and I'm saying my poem, and at some point I just choked. I couldn't remember the words. Like, it was so fucking, it was annoying. But that's what made me want to do it more. Because I saw that crowd, and I'm just like, and everybody was like, oh no, your poem was good. I ain't finished. Like, you didn't even hear the shit. Like, know what I mean?
So now it's just you got like, something that you need to work on. Nah, something respect. That you need like, to polish.
I was probably like 16 when that happened. 17. Right.
Yeah.
And it just made me want to go harder. Like, unfortunately, I never got a crowd that big again. But it's just like, yeah, you know, I can still.
There's room for it.
It definitely is room for it. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, that's why, you know, everybody has their fan base. You know, whether it be a million, whether it be like, you know, 1,000 or like 50,000, that's just what I want. Motherfuckers, that's just like, okay, let me just listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whatnot. And if I can motivate people to do poetry, whatnot, then yeah, go ahead. Like, speak what's in your heart. Speak about your history. Because a lot of people, we don't speak about our stories. And you never know how your story is going to help motivate the next person. Mm-hmm. Like, I was hit by 4 cars, literally. Like, within a span of a year.
Jesus.
Year, 2 year. Goodness. And it was all spiritual. It was all, everybody asked me, oh, da da da, you get your money? I don't give a fuck about money. I give a fuck about my life. Like, now I care about money because like, I'm living.
Yeah, now, yeah.
But at the same time, I had to understand that, no, I gotta appreciate life first before I can sit there appreciating money. Because money's going to come. It come and it go. But you got to be smart with your money. You got to know how to invest in shit. So it's just like, all right, let me fall back, appreciate life, and also invest my money in the right places so I can get, I can speak to the right people, like, pretty much.
I got 2 questions for you, bro.
Thank you. Yeah, go ahead.
I got 2 questions. First question is, what would be some encouraging words for other poets who, like, had their first or second, you know, performance and they choke, or maybe it's not even their first, maybe it's their 10th performance and they, you know, choke on their words and they, you know, kind of lose the momentum and confidence to perform again. What would be some encouraging words for that?
Take your time. Like, don't rush it. Don't force yourself. You're going to feel it. You're going to feel that, damn, like, I should have did this, should have did that. Even if you have a good performance, you're going to feel that. You're just like, damn, I should have did this, should have that. Just keep working and just move forward. Like, because you're a creator. You're always going to make another poem. And that poem is going to be way different from the last poem. You never know how it's going to be different from the last poem. Just keep doing it. Stay consistent. Like, that's really the secret. Consistency. Like, if you read what was it, Napoleon Hill, Think to Grow Rich, honestly, they talk about the secret all the time. I really think the secret is just consistency. Just keep doing it. Get that 10,000 hours of work.
Consistency and believing that you can do it.
If you get that 10,000 hours of whatever you do, then you're gonna flourish in it. Like, but you gotta love it too. Like, I mean, people do shit and they don't love it and they still flourish at it. I don't know how they do it, but I think it's that 10,000 hours. Mm. Keep doing it. Be consistent. Mm. And you're gonna find your different method. Like, it's weird. That's all I'll say. Like, that's my word from the night. It's weird.
And my second question to you, bro, is who are your inspirations? Like, who inspires you to
write? Damn, bro. That's, oh, wow. That's hard. I feel like my community inspires me. Point blank period. My ancestors, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X. Because they went through a hell of a lot of bullshit in order to get to where we was at now. So when I write, like, I always had the inspiration of my people and, like, the younger generation to move forward. Because a lot of the younger generation don't know that they can be creative and expressive. They do know, like, because they got hip-hop. Okay. But it's just, like, a lot of times our kids, like, they watch so many people so much, them being themselves and being creative, that they forget, nah, nigga, you can be creative too. Like, stop. You literally can stop watching everything you're watching and recreate yourself, like, and become like a true entity. Like, it's weird. Like, look at XXXTentacion. Like, this motherfucker is the GOAT when it talks about spirituality and motivating yourself and shit. And then tragedy. Like,
you're right. Yeah, it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, the young OG Zen Cartel, man.
Thank you guys. Like, I appreciate y'all,
Smoking
man.
The Dragon himself, man. We gotta give this man his roses now while he's here.
Yes.
You know, we gotta keep doing what you're doing, man. Real shit, though.
And it's weird because, like, I've just been so unmotivated to do poetry. Mm-hmm. I want to do other shit. I don't want to just stick to poetry. Like, I'm a creator. So it's just like the poetry don't translate as... That's why I'm going to do music. But I already know once I do music, I'm going to do visuals. Mm-hmm. Once I do visuals, and that's, I don't know what else.
That's what happens. Mind, I mean, this is a podcast full of slashes. Yeah. We are slashes, you know? Yeah. We're podcasters slash rappers slash entrepreneurs slash crochet artists slash poets.
Gamers.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's our crowd.
And that's why I fuck with the Unsalabs. We speak to the slashes. You guys really hit every topic for me. When I first listened to a broadcast, like, y'all hit hip hop, video games, politics. that's our world, bro.
We are part of the blurred culture. Word. Blurred culture, yeah. And that defines all of us.
And
like,
it's
blurred.
Like, yo, it is so we
blurred
like
millennials.
We like Biggie, we like Tupac, but we also like Naruto.
Yeah. And like, Pokemon. Like, what's wrong with that? Like, exactly. There's so many people that love that combination. It's just like, we don't see it every day on TV. Not even on fucking, like, Charlemagne and them. Like,
hell,
talk about
no
fucking anime or nothing like
nah,
that.
No. They media train, man. They have to weird, say like, whatever the person's like, you gotta talk about that. So we'll close out this episode, man. This is episode 85. 85.
Unsalabs. Making history.
Mambo 85.
Yo, so what's gonna be the last Mambo? 95?
405.
Yeah, every time there's a five.
There's a five.
Every time it's a five.
There's a five.
We're going to restart. We're going to say Mambo and five.
Mambo and five. Okay.
Exactly.
Five. Look at a bank account. It's like 995.
If my paycheck don't got a five on it, I don't even want it.
Give it here. Give it here.
1,005. Wait, 1,000. Hold up. Right. 1,004? Oh, no. I'll take that.
I just want the five. You take the extra stack. Just bring it home with you.
I got
that,
five.
That shit is just a
it
distraction.
Yeah,
but yo, man, I want to thank everybody for rocking with us, listening to us, man. You can check us on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Spotify, iTunes, Anchor. This episode is sponsored by Anchor. Just in case you didn't know,
shout out Anchor. Good looking.
Hold you down.
I hear that.
Yeah, man. So, and thanks again for Zen Cartel, man. Once again for kicking with us, rock with us, man.
Thanks for having me on the show.
You're welcome anytime, man. You know what I mean? Yeah, man. All right. I'm Sean Solo.
I'm Anthony, aka
This is Steffi, Nomadic Goddess.
This is Dre on motherfucking drums.
And we out. See you next week.